As soon as we found out that he was coming for our first National Catholic Family meeting, of course, we all got involved. There are different elements, of course, in a preparation. There's, first of all, the spiritual element. So there's been a lot of prayers, there's been a lot of rosaries said, especially the decades of rosaries. People have been saying a lot of families have been praying a special decade of the rosary every day for the Pope. So that's the spiritual part. Second of all, we've had catechesis formation in regards to what the Pope has been saying about the family. And the third part is, of course, the organizational elements. And we have a special web page which we created just for this papal visit. For that, we've had a lot of volunteer students helping, a lot of fourth-year journalist students working. And it's been a great experience for them as well. So at this particular point of time, there's this deep joy and a deep expectation of the Pope coming to Zagreb now. Everybody's really waiting for that.
Now, around the streets here in Zagreb, we've been seeing posters of the Pope and a big rosary. Tell me what that means. And you said that people have been praying for the Pope. But it also, you mentioned that there was a significance of the rosary for Croatia. Can you explain that?
Yeah, there's an interesting billboard around town with the Pope and a rosary in the form of the map of Croatia. As I said, the official church has said, you know, pray for the Pope. And then this is a lay initiative for praying rosaries for the Pope. That association goes back 20 years during the time of the independence war in Croatia. You have to understand, at that time, Croatia was ill-equipped. In actual fact, it had no arms. It was being attacked by this really big army and a lot of bombs falling over the place.
The Yugoslav army.
The Yugoslav-Serb army. It's war of aggression against Croatia. So what did Croatians do? We didn't have any arms, so people picked up the rosary. People started praying. They actually believed, which was great. One of the images which is in all of our memories here of all the people who were here at that time is Croatian soldiers walking around with rosaries around their necks. I would say basically every Croatian soldier at that particular point in time had a rosary. So it was a spiritual solidarity, the spiritual unity at that particular stage. And so people are saying, if we did it then, we should do it now again for the Pope and pray for the Pope. And the papacy is very, very important to Croatians. As you know, I mean, Croatia is a very Catholic country, 4.5 million people, about 90% are Catholic. State that they're Catholic, and of that, about 26% go to Mass every Sunday.
We finally have arrived at our destination up here on the hill where the Parliament and Government buildings are, and I'm looking here at the Museum of Broken Relationships. It seems to me that that's quite an icon in itself of the broken relationships that Catholics or the Croatians have with the past communist government.
Yes, it is. Well, first of all, it's a very unique museum in Europe, and it's actually received some awards now. But thank God. I mean, Croatia broke off its relationship with communism in 1990. But unfortunately, as far as it did politically, some things have not changed. And I consider that Croatia at this particular point of time is a post-communist country. And that has, to a great extent, affected the way in which Catholics deal within Croatian society. You have to remember that during that time, Catholics were second-grade citizens. A lot of the younger Catholics, the more educated Catholics, are saying, hang on, that's enough. We live in a democracy. We also have the right to espouse our views and to give our stances in regards to from political to moral issues within society. Because being a Catholic here in Croatia, whenever you say something, they tend to say, well, you're medieval and you're not progressive. So it's almost a very difficult stereotype to break. So that's why we need our views and to give our stances in regards to from political to moral issues within society. We need a capillary network with a lot of families, a lot of young people, and we meet up and we talk about these things there. So I would say it's almost like a silent, very silent, gentle revolution which is taking place, which could take a couple of generations, but it's starting now. What we're saying is that we mustn't just think about ourselves now, but we must think about the future of our children. Croatia has never had the chance to actually think long term. Croatia has not been a state since the 12th century. And if you look at the map of Croatia, it has a very funny shape to it. It almost has a croissant type of a shape. And Croatia is actually, as a result of historical injustices and whatever. That's the furthermost northern point where the Turks got into Croatia. And so everything was, for centuries, he was very insecure. And so people tended not to think long term. What we're saying now is, let's think long term. And as Catholics, we have been the cohesive force of this country since the beginning. The church has always kept the Croatian identity alive for centuries. And what we're saying, we're the future, we're the families and our children, we're the future. We need to continue on not only this Croatian identity. I mean, God, it is a God-given that we are in this country. And of course, we will be good Croatians. But I would say maybe even more important that we live our faith and that we be good faithful and that we be the cohesive force and that we say that there is something more besides just this life that we have here.